Most people think that the hardest part of being cheated on is just deciding what you need to do. Just stay or leave. But for most people that I talk to, that's not the part that actually is keeping them stuck. It's this really weird, uncomfortable experience where one part of you is completely done with them. You've lost respect for them, you hate them, you find them disgusting, and yet there is something that feels like you can't give up hope yet. And so you're simultaneously colder, more distant, you don't show up in the relationship the same way. It's like a switch flipped in your brain, and yet there's still this thought in the back of your brain that says, maybe they'll come back, or maybe we'll set new boundaries, or maybe we can still make this work. And those two sets of feelings going on at the same time in your brain can make you feel like you're going crazy. Like, why can't I just fully detach? Why do I still care? What's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. This is a genuinely complex situation to go through, and there are competing intentions within your own mind and nervous system. So one way to explain this isn't the literal truth per se, but it's a helpful model for thinking about it. Your mind is pretty quick. It looks at what happens and it updates pretty quickly. It can check off right away. This isn't what I thought it was. This isn't safe. This changes everything. This isn't what I stand for. Your mind's like a computer getting a new software update, and then everything is brand new right away. But your body, your emotional system, your nervous system, your attachment style, those things tend to move a little bit slower. Because that person isn't just your partner. They represent routine, normalcy, safety, and your future. And so it feels like by giving up on them, you're giving up on any chance of returning to normal or any chance of returning to routine. And that part of you just desperately wants things to go back to how things were. And so it holds on to this hope, regardless of how possible it really is. I've talked to so many people that know that there's like a less than 1% chance that they'll suddenly come back and be this knight in shining armor and suddenly fix everything. And yet they still hold on to that hope because the part of them that really wants to just feel safe and held and secure again desperately wants something. And what that something is hard to define apart from that partner while you're still with them and while you're still living in this reality. So even though they're this massive source of pain, your nervous system is just so used to them being a source of comfort that it goes back to them for that relief. And it's crazy, but it's almost like touching a hot stove, getting burned, and then there's another part of your body that wants to just reach right back out to that stove again. Not because you're stupid, but because there's something in your nervous system that finds comfort in that same exact spot that burned you. So logically, you know, but nervous system-wise, you don't. Things haven't caught up. I think this explains why people often tell me that they feel like they're two different people at once. One part of you is clear, it sees what happens, it knows the reality, it's starting to pull away. And the other part of them is holding on to the version of their partner that they thought existed. And it's also holding on to who they were with that partner when they thought that's who they were and when they thought that's the relationship and life and family and house and future that they had. So one way this can manifest is just flipping back and forth between seeing exactly who they are now with disgust and then this longing for who you remember them to be. And it can be exhausting going back and forth between those two. And because of how exhausting that is, a lot of people form the belief that the only way they can move forward is to fully resolve that tension between those two. They think they need to resolve that conflict before they can make any decision. They think, I need to feel fully done before I can be fully done. Or I need to stop wanting them before I leave. Or I need to feel a high level of disgust that will force me to leave. In other words, they think that they need their emotions to fully line up with whatever decision they know is best for them. And so they try forcing it. They try to talk themselves into hating them. They try to relive the worst things that they did to them over and over again in their head until they feel enough pain that they're finally motivated to take action. So they focus on the bad, and that just makes them feel worse. Obviously, because if you're focusing on the bad, you're reliving the pain. Those things are not pleasant. And they're also not usually working because it's not addressing the right thing. You already dislike them. You already hate them. The deeper problem is in the nervous system not feeling safe, not having a different reality to fall back into. And really, you're not even dealing with one thought. You're not dealing with one conflict of emotions and thoughts. It's a whole system. and you can't just logic your way out with one feeling or one decision out of something that was built emotionally over years. So one really simple reframe is, instead of thinking, I need to feel different before I act, shift it to, my feelings are lagging behind right now. That's it. They're not wrong. They're not a sign. They're just behind, and they're just confused. And this isn't to say that emotions play no role, but if you know what the right decision is, don't let the fact that your emotions don't always line up with that be a reason that you don't take it. Because healing from something like this isn't just like flipping a switch. It's more like a dimmer. The light slowly changes over time. And not like 2 to 5 years like most people say, but over a period of days and then weeks and then months. In the middle, things will still feel fuzzy. There will be this weird overlap. You don't need emotional certainty to be able to move forward. You don't need to fully not want them. You don't even need to hate them. You can still love them. You can still pity them. You can still despise them, whatever you want. You can feel any particular way and still decide that it's not what's best for you to stay with them. Both can exist. And when you stop trying to force one part of yourself to die, that internal pressure can start to drop. Because now you're not fighting yourself anymore. Instead of asking, how do I stop feeling this? What would happen if you were to ask yourself, what would I do right now if I trusted what I already know? Not what you feel, but what you know. Knowing in a profound, full body, mind, heart connected type of sense. What do you know? Act from that place. Because emotions are incredibly expansive. You have the capacity to feel an infinite number of conflicting things. But when it comes to what you know, that's usually a bit more specific and a better place to guide you. And then once you make a decision, and then you start taking action in that direction, that action and consistency is what will narrow down the set of emotions that you feel, to signal to your nervous system that something new is starting, and it will start respecting that, and it will build accordingly. But right now, it's trying to take the shortest path to safety, and the shortest path to safety as it perceives it. So let's take a step back. Right now, you are not broken. You're not weak. You're not failing to move on. You're just in this weird gap between what you understand and where your nervous system is. It's not a permanent state. The way through it isn't by forcing yourself to feel differently. It's by introducing genuine safety to yourself, independent of the relationship.